That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel.
That old wheel.
Gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does.
It will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel
is
gonna roll around once more when it does.
When it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does.
When it does,
that will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Good morning, Remnant, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live. It's Saturday morning, July 8th, 2023. And, another cloudy morning here at the Radio Ranch, but we've got a full crew of men on. Men, good morning. And we'll bring everybody on. Tim from Nebraska, thanks for joining this morning.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Amen. And Brother Paul from up in Michigan, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And Jason down in Colorado, good morning.
Good morning.
And Remnant, we tell you good morning from all over. We know you join us from Texas and from Oklahoma and Florida and Washington State and all places in between. So we say good morning to you. And Jason, would you open us up in prayer this morning?
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask that you lead us, guide us, and direct us this morning. We thank you for this day that you've made. And Lord, we just ask, Father, that you just guide us in direction in the direction that we are to go. We ask that you continue to be with your people across this land and turn their hearts and their minds back to you, Father. Lord, we understand that we're living in difficult times, exciting times, Father, and we just cry out to you for you to save us from the hands of our enemies, those that hate us, those that seek to destroy us. Oh, Lord, we say, let them be caught in their plots. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
We're Remnant. It is a live program. We do have the phone lines open, 307-745-5913, if you'd like to give a call. And we'll do our best to get your call on. And we were just talking a little bit before the program, just a little bit about the weather. And I've sure noticed that out here, Tim, you were mentioning, average or better than average rainfall. And that's where we are. We are greener. We've been here over 20 years. I've never seen it this green. We were up on the the top pasture this past week, and the cactus that are up there, the cactus flowers are blooming, and seeing more flowers and more bloom than I've ever seen. And it's welcome. It's a good change. My son is further west. He's about 800 miles west out in Nevada, and their desert is that way as well. They are above average snowfall this past winter, above average rain. They have been in flood warning almost all summer, and just a shift. Nothing, you know, I think that we see that. It's just a little bit different than, you know, than what we've normally seen here and a little further west as well. But we'd sure rather have green, that's for sure, and we're thankful for it. The steers have grass to eat, the cattle, talking with the neighbors, they're greener than they've ever been. And that's a, still have water in our irrigation ditch. There's still snow in the mountains. And that's a good thing for summertime. We were, 49 degrees this morning, and, that's a little cool for summer, even for here. But we're thankful for it.
There's a lot of noise going on right now on these fertilizer shortages in the farming world, you know, and the price index is going higher. I think it's kind of interesting that we got several of our more local guys here that are they drug out the manure spreaders, and they're taking big steps toward going back to well, kind of what I call circular farming, but where what they make is what they put on, and they gain the benefits of the whole thing. You know, they can clean this up and gain fertilizer out of the deal, but they're dragging their manure spreaders out and greasing them up and going to work. And I think that, you know, they're rattling this paperwork about fertilizer shortages and about herbicide shortages and all this oil thing, and it's causing problems. And I don't know. I kind of see it as God's way of just regenerating his land and teaching us how to be a little more self-sufficient and thin in the herd, so to speak, of some of these really big companies that don't want to do it right. So I don't think there is no vacuum in God's world. I mean, they're not going to go away. You're just going to end up with something different. And it's going to be more like he wants it to be.
Well, they've made farmers drug addicts anyway because it was so easy, you know, with their herbicide and stuff like that. My dad was an organic farmer because he had to, because he didn't have all these tools that we have today. You know, like he had cover crops. He tilled shallow. He knew all that stuff. He'd be 100 and something right now, but he knew all that stuff way back then. And we, you know, we've wandered away from the truth. And we're, you know, Gabe Brown, we're learning how it works. This world was built to be self-sufficient forever, you know, but greed has taken over. The corporations have bought up all the small companies and buying them by the day, and people are selling them. That's the worst part. We're living, you know, the Bible tells you not to sell your land. That's your heritage. But everybody's taking the money and running. Then their money will turn to dross and no value. I mean, inflation is eating it right now. I know people that sold their farms up in Traverse City, big money, and by the time we got done with capital gains, they had absolutely nothing. So, yeah, they talk big money, but you can't keep it.
Exactly.
Well, we pay a price for abandoning God's ways.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and you sacrifice. We were just talking about that again the other day. It's kind of an older thought, but still doesn't make it any less valid. And you sacrifice to the God you serve. And we got, so whenever you start putting in time, treasure, or you know, even mental processes, check yourself. What God is that going to? Who is it serving? I mean, there's, you know, it's all about us. And you know, if we're fretting and stewing toward that other God, that's still a sacrifice to that other God. You know, I mean, fear God and prosper, fear God and live, you know, are the real true God. But we have a lot of people who just really worry about all that other stuff. And they worry about how they're going to hold on to their money, how they're going to, you know, keep it all together. And it's like, well, God is on the throne. He can take care of you. And, yeah, it's kind of strange because the older you get, the more you get a handle on some of that stuff. It's like, that's not really that worth worrying about, you know. Let's get something real.
Well, that's what the elders are supposed to be. They've been down the road. They've made the mistakes, you know. But the elders in the church that I went to are just about as dumb as they get. They had no idea what God's ways were. You know, we would go to a meeting to take 30 minutes, it should take, and it'd take all night because, well, everybody had a difference of opinion. They all had to express it. And I said, what different? I was pretty young. I wasn't as bold as I am today. But I thought, you know, what do you care what you think? What does the Bible say? And I actually did say that a couple of times, but they never did grasp, but they're still doing their old ways. So.
Well, guys, I saw one of the one of the more recent we've talked in the past about how the American people are not really voting with their dollar, but fighting with their dollar, with what they're buying, and more importantly, what they're not buying. The things like we had mentioned the Bud Light and the Target, and it seems like that ice cream is the latest on the battleground. Ben and Jerry's, who were some old liberal old hippies from the past anyway, but they were back in the spotlight, not thinking that they were going to be, I guess. Promoting more of the lies, but with a bunch of they were pushing a bunch of things like how you know, the U.S. and all the capitalism was all, everything was based on stolen ground. We'd come in and stole everything from the honorable indigenous people here, and I guess that didn't go over too well. Their sales are down $2 billion just in the last month. Since all this has come out, and it's not just the economy. You know, people are buying ice cream; they just ain't buying Ben and Jerry's. Just like they're buying beer, but not Bud Light. And people are shopping at local stores and Walmarts, but not Target. And I just thought that was interesting. It seemed like no matter what. That these companies just, I guess our way of thinking, mine is, you know, you would think they would learn that, hey, this is the kind of the way the wind is blowing right now with the American consumer, with at least about half of them. But it just doesn't seem to that's not the way these companies are thinking. I guess they're realizing that it is the last days, and they're just wanting to be recognized, I think, for the tares that they are, is sure how it seems to me.
Well, you have the deceitfulness of riches. They have lots of money, and they think they're invincible, but they're coming down, you know, and these small farm markets and stuff, and small farmers, and now the direct marketing is just flourishing, and people don't talk about that, but this corporate world think they got the tail rolled by the tail. And they're losing it because you take and lose $1 billion. That could hurt a business really quickly, I would think. I don't know how much they have, but once it quits coming in, you're going down because they have big overhead. And this is happening to all of them. But see, they serve the devil, you know, and he's got them by the tail. And the devil's way is a dead end road, no matter how you work it. You know, Satan's children, either Satan's children actually or twice the sons of hell. If they bought into the economy that we have, it's fragile. It's fragile, and it's built on nothing. Yeah. Our dollar has absolutely nothing behind it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you have this diametrically opposed paradigm there that is, you know, God, Satan, and one, and, you know, fair and right, we look at, well, just for example, like this trans, I read an article the other day on these transgender shooters and killers, you know, and bombers and all this kind of stuff. And the numbers are going way up on those people. And the gist of the article was, is, well, you know, they're basically, they're crazy. And it was like, no, really? I mean, you know.
Yeah, they're mentally deranged.
I mean, they do. So we know that crazy people do things like that. You know, I mean, that's a given. And it doesn't matter whether they're driven crazy from lust or from chemical dependency or from all those things. But the flip side of the coin is, from their point of view, they think we're crazy. So it's just one of those. It's like, well, choose you this day whom you'll serve. You know, I mean, you're going to serve. That part of it is the definition goes along with who you serve as far as which side is that. But, you know, and I'm not saying you're crazy if you serve God. I'm just saying that from the world point of view that, or from a, you know, if you look at it and boil it all down, they're going to say that. But the truth is, God's way is liberty, life, eternal reward, eternal life, all those things that we hold valuable. And I just, you know, the satanic reward system just doesn't make any sense to me. And, you know, personally, I'm glad it doesn't. So.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, it sure gives new.
Well, faith.
Go ahead, Paul.
Faith means nothing to the world. I mean, they don't understand faith. They think they work for what they got. They, you know, it's just the Catholic Church that keeps you busy working hard, nowhere to go. But and faith is just exactly the opposite. And that's what we have as opposed to the world. So I had an interesting happen to me. Well, I did it myself, but I was at the coffee table the other day, and they were talking about $2 bills. I said, do you ever see a $3 bill? No, I didn't know they make them. Well, that's what queers use. And this lady sitting there, she got ticked. She says, I got two in my family. You know, I said, well, that's bad, not too bad, but I said, it's still wrong. And I didn't back up, but boy, was she mad. You know, well, I'm going to love my kids. I said, well, I'd disown them. You go ahead, but I can't do that. And that's it, ended there. But, you know, I'll stick your foot in the mouth, kind of, I'm thinking. And the minute I said it, I knew what was going to happen.
Yeah. It doesn't make it any less true, though, right? Yeah, exactly. So I've been there. I know that. So, and that's like you say, it's like, no, that's what God says. Sorry, there are certain things that it was like, you know, yeah, I wouldn't have any more to do with them if they were going to be that way. So.
Well, another while back, another lady said, well, I don't care what they do. I said, that's bullshit. That's the problem. We're tolerant. You know, we got to quit being tolerant of this crap. And this should have happened 50 years ago. But, you know, the great falling away had to happen. And I guess we're on track. I believe that with all my heart. The great falling away had to happen. He said it would. So, and we're in progress. You know, and queers and lesbians are the last stage. You know, you take Sodom and Gomorrah, then when they go south, that's the last stage. So that's where we're at as I see it.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, and you're seeing it. You know, San Francisco was always the leading city regarding what you're talking about, Paul, regarding the homosexuality and that sin. And you look at it. You look at San Francisco today. It's as bad off as Detroit. It is. There was an article that the mayor was talking about. Oh, we've lost more tech conferences, and you know, because San Francisco has had tourism has been their number one, money maker for years, and the last say 10 years, they have had. More of these big tech conferences, competitions, things like that, that are just not going there anymore. You know, they would, they'd have week-long conferences and whatnot, and people would go and take their families and make it a work trip and a family trip and see the sights, go see the bridge and see the bay and all. not anymore. And it is because of that. The homelessness and the drug use, the lawlessness that just abounds. It's like the big elephant in the room that nobody out there wants to talk about, but it just continues to get worse and worse. And it's not becoming, but it has become a third world city. The crime, the filth and degradation that's there, and people realize that. They realize that, that there's a cause and effect. I think more and more people are starting to see it because it is getting so bad, that they're seeing that this is what happens when you embrace and push and promote this, this ungodly death style. It's not a lifestyle. It's a death style. It's not gay, which means happy. It is sad. It really is.
Well, toleration is just as bad as being part of it,
Paul, you're right.
The law leaves the church. The law leaves the world.
Yeah. I think our people, for the most part, are live and let live people. You hear that. Hey, you don't bother me, and I won't bother you. And we think that that's okay. But our God is not that way, is he? He's not, oh, whatever. It's okay. Just don't bother me with it. That's not how he is. And we've become that way. But our enemy is not that way at all. Our enemy is not. And you're seeing that. You're seeing it because of this, this sin of rebellion to God in every way possible, just being crammed down our throats. Whether it is the transgenderism, whether it's the homosexual death style that's being pushed and promoted, the recruitment of our children, the filth that's being taught and that they're exposed to in the public school system, all over. But it is having, and we've talked about it, some unintended consequences. It's kind of like Joseph talking to his brothers. The enemy means it for evil. They mean to destroy Adam, whether it's with shots, whether it's with recruiting his children, turning his children from God, destroying Adam and Adam's race. But God's using it for good, because God's using it to wake people up. The more that the evil grows, the more that this happens. You see, Ben and Jerry's comes out and, you evil white people. And they're trying to destroy that white culture. And people say, I'm not buying your ice cream. And so the more that the enemy does, the more people that it wakes up. It just seems like that's a cause and effect that's happening all over. Saw an article by Coach Dave Dobenmeyer, the Pass the Salt Ministries. He's been around for 30 years. And he had an article out here just recently, same thing, that, hey, it's I think he called it "The Worm is Turning," based on some rock song. But things are changing. People are seeing that, it just ain't so no more. It's just not.
There's a move there. 2 Peter 2:6-8 says that, and if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to destruction by reducing them to ashes, having made them an example of what is coming for the ungodly, and if he recused righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the perverted conduct of unscrupulous people, for by what he saw and heard, that righteous man, while living among them, felt his righteous soul tormented day after day by their lawless deeds. That's kind of the framework of that. But they bring about this tolerance as a mainstream thing, we're going to tolerate that. And then it brings about acceptance, and that's another mainstream construct. You know, acceptance would be to open the bathrooms to both sexes, to allow men to participate in women's sports. Eventually, on the personal level, it reaches a level of normalcy. And the problem with that is that then personal and nationally, we fail to cry out to God on that. You know, those lawless deeds then become lawful through default, you know. And,
right.
You know, we see that they're attempting that, except the sheep just aren't having it, you know. We have different things that we can see is that we see people crying out to God. We see articles on the internet going on about, they may not all be right, but there's people saying, hey, this isn't right. You know, I mean, we have people kicking back against it. And, we see, I know we're talking about California. They were talking about the fact that there's this big uptick there now. There's a huge robbery thing going on with women with children. They're out there robbing women with children that are out and about doing their daily activity. That seems to be the latest, greatest thing. And, you know, this is the land of unwalled villages, you know, where people can do their things, and they dwell in safety and security because God is king, because Jesus rules, and because we have the law of God written on our hearts. And they're attempting to pervert and change that. And consequently, we have women, you know, gun sales have gone as an uptick. Like I say, that's not the ultimate end all, but it is an indicator. And one of the things that we see there, women, the new uptick on numbers, women are buying guns at a rate 50% higher than any time previously in history. You know, we have all these other things going on. People are crying out. People are fighting back. People are, you know, ticked off. This 1% of the population that is trying to bring about this dastardly, ungodly change, it's like, no. So I think it's encouraging.
You're not just right, Jim. Yeah, you missed the joke. Anyway, you know, I've worked, there's a place about 45 miles from here, and it's known for the queers, like San Francisco. And I've worked for Dead Tree Work for some of those people, and they're very militant. They're intolerant. You know, like you said earlier, we're tolerant, which is a mistake. But that's the sheep's mentality. Yeah, you can push it so far, but then like right now, we've been pushed too far, and people are starting to react to their conscience that's written in their heart. And I don't think a lot of people know what's going on, but that's what's happening as I see it. You know, as, you know, Budweiser, Target, and a whole dang bunch of them, they're coming out who they are, really are, and people are responding to them. So, but it's just like Isaiah 1. They don't know who they are. You know, you can't understand the Bible until you know who the players are, and they don't know who they are. And Jesus was called the second Adam. You know, Adam failed in the whole thing, and Jesus came down and he said, well, I'll go down and do it myself. That's what I think is happening, you know, because Adam failed and Jesus didn't. So, and he is called the second Adam in the Bible. So,
yep. Amen.
And that comes into the two creation. In the beginning, there was people here before Adam and Eve came, you know, and that explains a lot of things. I told a guy that I was at a show down in Grand Rapids. He just hollered to the top of the room. That explains it. That explains it. You know, because he was into the, I suppose he was a Mennonite from Indiana, but he was into the Bible, you know, and he was looking. And I told him that, and he just was excited about it. Most people don't get it.
Very true. I've had a whole bunch of people here just lately go, what about aliens? You know, wouldn't that just blow the whole God thing out of the water? And I said, my simple short answer is, I don't know, the Bible's about us, and this is all about us, but don't you think God probably created them too? You know, I mean, what, you're going to make him small and insignificant if that's the case? And they were like, I just got this look, you know, like, huh? I mean, I'm sorry, it doesn't affect my faith, it doesn't trouble me one way or the other. I mean, I'm not concerned about it, but evidently there's some folks out there that are. So, You know, that's kind of a, okay.
There is, I don't know, understand this all, but there is a place for the other races. You know, God, I was going to ask somebody, I forgot where I seen it, but it was, I got people from, that come from the East and the West that are different people, and they're not Israelites. And I believe there's a place for them if they will have do it God's way. You know, that's my take on it. I'm not real sure about this.
I agree. Yeah, they, well, you know, God called his creation all good. I mean, Christ came for the house of Israel because that, like you said, Adam messed up. And, you know, but that doesn't mean that, yeah. So we see all those things, in the Bible. And I'm trying to think, there is, you know, in Isaiah, he says, my house will be called a house of prayer for all the people, you know, and, there's, you serve God, you win. That's the way it is. It doesn't matter what people you are or what race you are. I mean, there's a separation there in that, we needed saved, the Adamites needed saved because of that whole garden incident. You know, that was it's a different thing, but the benefits for the other peoples are there. I mean, if they want to serve God, if they want to do the sabbaticals, if they want to do the rest on the land, if they want to, well, God will bless them too. Those laws were set in effect for, they're global, you know. So
right. You know, Nineveh's a good example of that. You know, they weren't Israelites. They were just other peoples. And but God saw their wickedness, and he sent Jonah, right, to preach to them, hey, tell them repent or perish. You got 40 days. And they believed. They believed and they repented. They stopped their wickedness and God spared them. And I think that's a great example of other people. Certainly the mainstream churches and the Judeo churches, they don't look at anything like that because, like you said, Paul, they don't know who the people are. And if they do, they turn it around and they don't want you to know. But it is, God has a plan for all. You know, when the Bible said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, that applies to the Israelite nations, but it applies to all of them. It does. When people turn,
Pastor Peters was,
go ahead.
I remember Pastor Peters talking about some Indians out in the plains that were keeping God's law. I don't remember that he talked about that.
And, yes.
But some missionary went and taught him God's way. That you can go to, you go down into Africa and teach him God's way. I mean, that's, you know, I got a son-in-law comes and sent a whole bunch of missionaries. And I said to him, I said, what the heck is he doing in Haiti? That whole family's down there in the condition that Rockford's in. That's, you know, that's where they're from. He didn't say nothing, but that I don't have much use for missionaries today. I said they usually get a tropical religious vacation, I call it, because they're having no effect on people. Because they, first of all, they're not Christians themselves; they think they are, and that's the double-mindedness of them. And yeah, we don't have to go too far to be a missionary. Walk out my door, I think I can see a couple.
Yeah, no
yes.
Kidding, right?
Yeah,
I've always felt that way too. So,
Jason, will you have anything to say for us? You still there? He's gone. Oh, well. We live without him, I guess.
Yeah. Well, Remnant, phone lines are open this morning. 307-745-5913 if you'd like to give us a call. And, Tim, you had something. I didn't mean to interrupt you there, brother.
Well, I was just gonna say God's plan's a worldwide plan, which is what we were just talking about. So, but the rest of the world is what when we're out of order with God, then everything's out of order. So, it's one of those things where, you know, you want to really be a missionary, you really want to help the rest of the world, then get yourself right, you know, get your people right, get that. taken care of, and that's the first step to helping everything else out.
One step further, get yourself right.
That's right. That's right.
And then exactly. You have an effect.
Well, that's where it starts.
People notice. People notice.
I thought it was funny. I was doing some reading, and Newsom, he's having this big fit because supposedly Florida's sending illegal aliens up there to California. You know, they're busting it. I don't know whether they are or not. That's not the focus of what I'm really saying. But he's just having a fit about it because it's straining their resources and everything else. But, you know, they just talk out of both sides of their mouth, you know, all the time, or out of both sides of their head.
Yes.
And, you know, it's okay for these illegals to come across the border. We can't stop that. But we don't want you to send them up here to us, you know. So it's such a... I mean, it's almost comical if you look at it sometimes. All the posturing and the just the mouth breathing that's going on over all those kind of... It's like, well, here's a thought. If they weren't here, if they're illegal to begin with, if they weren't here, it wouldn't be a problem, right? So, you know, just kind of going back to those floodgates down there being open and that kind of stuff going on and talking about getting things right, like, there you go. So,
well, we're in a state of anarchy is what we're in. It's a nation without rules, and that's, you know, there is no rules, you know, there is no law. I was reading one of Colonel Moore's books the other day too. You know, people make the decisions, like, you know, with capital punishment issues. Well, it's God's written, that's law, but they're making, well, you get life in prison. Well, this whole thing is long for has been for a long time, you know, and judge can he can. Come and make a decision that totally goes against the will of the people and get away with it.
Right.
You
know, Paul, you mentioned that. The thought occurs. I remember Pastor used to, he talked about how in California they would do that, that the people, 85% of the people would overwhelmingly and did overwhelmingly vote not to give California driver's license to illegal aliens. And 85%, huge, and a federal judge would overrule it and do it anyway. And so, you know, you're right. There, it's lawlessness that's in the land. I think that ties back.
Well, like I said, if lawless leaves the church, it's gone, because that's supposed to be the salt of the earth, and
yes.
The church has flat lost it.
Yes, yes. And I tell you, that brings to mind what you mentioned, Tim, there from 2 Peter about Sodom and Gomorrah, because we've gone full circle. That's where we're back to, that lawlessness, that the what we hear of Sodom and Gomorrah, what we see in the Scripture, you know, the filth and them coming for the angels and that type of stuff, and that was accepted. That was just the way it was, and that's where we're back to today. And that in itself is lawlessness. I don't know if that's what's finally going to wake some more people up or what, but it is. And that's a term that I've been trying to use with people is that we have 10 laws that we're given to obey. And if we can't obey them, we get 10,000 new ones every year. And it's because of the lawlessness in the land. You turn back to the 10.
Well, yeah, an example of that is I just seen something the other day there, and I don't remember the congresswoman that was talking, but they were talking to the ATF, head of the ATF, and they were talking about the bump stock issue and some of the other things. And basically they said, Congress never made any rule against those. How is it that you guys can write law? And he's like, well, administratively we can, you know, do this and that. And they were like, no, you can't. That's not right. That
right.
wasn't your mandate.
Right.
And we have these groups out here, these alphabet soup gangs that they just cast nets. They lay, and they want to keep their gravy job, you know, and they want to rule, and they they write this, they lay these heavy burdens on the people. God's burdens were light. Like, we only had,
right.
only had just 10, you know,
right.
I mean, you know, and do unto your neighbor. And some of those, it was like, you know, and suddenly we have so many that people passing bills up there that haven't even read them. You know, they're 2,000 pages, and then they do omnibus bills where they roll in 40 bills together that nobody knows what they are, and they're doing budget concerns, and you know, it's like I said here a while back. I mean, billions and trillions of dollars. $1 billion. You know, your average yearly income in the United States is $75,000 a year. That's the average.
Yeah.
$1 billion. You could live on $1 billion for 13,333 years. You know, I mean, these numbers, these bills, it's all beyond us. We, you know, it's like, no, you can't. You. These are things that I don't care how many aids you have. I don't care how many calculators you have. I don't care. This stuff's, it's ridiculous. We literally. The American people probably literally can't wake up in the morning without breaking the law. I mean, it literally is, it's impossible. Everyone is doing something wrong. They've made liars and lawbreakers out of everyone through their burden, you know.
They have, Tim. I saw a headline just last week. It said that very thing. It's funny you say that, but it said, well, Wyoming, you probably woke up as a lawbreaker today, and that was the headline, and it was that, you know, Wyoming, 500,000 people, there's counties in places that have more people than our state, but they had passed, the legislative body passed 126 new state laws, and they kicked in just about 10 days ago. And, you know, some of them were administrative, some of them are to deal with firearms and traffic stuff, just a little bit of everything. But that was the headline, was it said you probably woke up and breaking the law and didn't even know it. And that's what it is. You figure if we've got 126 new laws per year, most states probably get four times that, probably have 500 new laws a year, state laws. We see that, 10,000 new federal laws every year. It is just that with the pistol. What was it with the pistol brace? The latest ATF debacle made, what was it? Was it 4 million or 40 million people in America felons? Just by their administrative ruling, to where, I forget if it was 4 million or 40, I don't know, but that's how many of those have been sold and built and put together, they estimate, over the last several years since the ATF had ruled that they were all okay and that these are the guidelines. They give you the guidelines, right? 8 by 8 by 8 by 8, that's the guidelines. So that's what people have been doing for years. And then they come back and say, no, those are, we've changed it now, and now you're a felon. And like you said, Paul, it's lawlessness. That's not a republic. That's not a republic for which it stands, that our flag stands for. That's not the Christian republic that our forefathers, fought and died for and wrote up a government for us. That's a demonocracy. That's a what was the term you used, Paul? It wasn't chaos. What was it? Anarchy.
Yeah, anarchy.
That's what that is. Absolute. If they think, and that's what how our enemy thinks. That, well, if we write it down and we pass it, then it's law. And Paul, you've done a great job reminding us. You know, God makes law. And he's the only one that does.
Well, see what they make. That's what they make policies. What they
policy.
Do is, You see, that's the difference between the policeman and the sheriff. See, the policeman carries out the policy of the society, where a sheriff is supposed to be the law in the county. And they've all become policemen, but that's the difference. that's what a policeman is. You have state police. Yeah, they carry out all these laws that they make and stuff like that, but it's not real law. See, the state of Michigan and Michigan State are two different legal things. The state of Michigan is a corporation. Michigan State's a physical place, and that's all in the wording, if you know what it's saying.
Right.
And but that's every state in the union is the same deal. They got the state of, that's a corporation, which is a fictitious entity, where you got your hard earth real law is that's God's law, you know, and that's the country was built on that. That's why they're grinding all them verses out of the Supreme Court, out of the current grant and stuff like that, because we haven't followed them. And it's the people's fault, you know. An attorney has no standing in court without a client. So the people really have the power if they would use it. And Hosea says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they reject knowledge. You know, we've rejected God's law.
Yes.
You know, when everybody goes to the steeple house and wants to make them feel good, they think they go to church or do God's will, you know. But they ain't got a clue what's going on, you know. Somewhere it says in the Bible, God said, if you would have told them, they would have listened. You know, most people respect their pastor for the most part, you know, and if he says something, you know, because he's supposed to be studying the Bible and stuff like that. But I don't remember where it is. I think it's in Jeremiah or Isaiah. If you would have told them, they would have listened.
Yeah.
So.
I know. I think they told that to Jeremiah when he was calling them out on their sin. And he wasn't getting anywhere. And finally, some of the men came to him and said, listen, this is your job. You tell us. You tell us and we'll do it. And that's your job. You do that. And it is, you know. But I think that applies to all of us. You know, we all have that great commission to do our best to fulfill. You know, you there in Michigan and Jason in Colorado and Tim in Nebraska and our brethren in Illinois and Florida and Texas and Alaska and Hawaii and California and places, we all have that responsibility upon us. And Tim, I think you mentioned it. You know, people notice. People notice. You know, if we are honest in our dealings, if we are kind, not nice, but kind, and are different, then this crazy world we live in, people do notice. And that does go, I think, a long way to furthering his kingdom, to letting people know, to letting people see the difference what true Christianity is.
You know, everything we do is a cumulative effect. If you are trying to, I mean, there's none righteous, no, not one, our Bible says, but that doesn't mean, that doesn't allow you not to try to be righteous. You need to, that's a daily struggle for those of us who do serve God and are Christians. I mean, do I make the grade? Probably not most of the time, but that doesn't give me the option of not trying. I mean, that's my goal, is to do that. And we know that Psalms 34:17 says, the righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. It doesn't say the rich. It doesn't say the good looking. It doesn't say the righteous. And if you're trying to be righteous, and if you are putting all your effort and your might into what would God want me to do here, and like I say, we fall short of the mark. But the point is, when we do cry out, God hears us. And when we're covered in Christ, we are righteous. Paul says that, there is now therefore no condemnation in Christ Jesus. And you claim his blood, you claim his sacrifice, you claim his power over that deal. Well, and if you are trying to follow his laws, judgments, and precepts, you now can claim Psalms 34:17 and cry out, and the Lord hears and he delivers you out of all your troubles. You know, so it's on the way. Deliverance is on the way. I mean, it's coming.
Yeah, and we aim for that.
Forward button.
Yeah.
No, you know, you don't got to be brilliant either. You know, the Bible says that he who dwells on the law will cannot be moved, you know. And don't argue with people. Say, it is written. And then you put the burden of proof back on them. You know, it is written. Don't argue with people. It's everything that I say is not original thought for me. It's scriptural, and it's from God. And I just believe it more than other people. But it is written. Don't argue with people. Let them see. They all have this void in their life too. This is why they go to alcohol, drugs, and whatever else they do, looking for joy and peace and happiness. But it don't come from there. It comes from internally. You have it. How you know life is stress. It's how you're going to deal with it. You know, it's just how we deal with what is put on our plate. But yeah, my point is, we don't have to be intelligent. Just stand on the truth, and the truth will last forever.
Absolutely.
Amen.
That's right.
Yes. Vindication comes from God, you know, not from any other site. That's a, yeah, exactly. Good point.
Amen. Well, man, we are almost out of time. Tim, you have some closing comments for the remnant?
Look at all the experiences Pastor Peter's had. He lived so he could teach us. You know, he's just like us. We, you know, those who knew him, he was no different than us. He was just ahead of us a little bit. But he was sold out to Jesus Christ, and that was a fact.
Yes.
Amen.
You know, if you knew his personal life, you'd say, how could he say what he said at the end? Nothing bad happened to him. So that was quite a statement.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
Yep, absolutely.
We were blessed to have him there.
Yes. Well, guys, thanks. Tim and Paul, thank you, man, for taking time out of your busy Saturday morning, and thank you for the encouragement to the remnant.
You're welcome.
Hope you guys have a blessed day. And remnant, thank you for joining us. We sure appreciate you, your support, and the emails and the phone calls when you contact us, and that keeps us encouraged as well. And we invite you to join us for church tomorrow. And you can do that at scripturesforamerica.org. You can click on the live video stream starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain Time. And that's 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 on the West Coast. We hope you'll join us. And we'll have a review of the news. We'll have a timeless pulpit truth. And we'll have a brand new message for you. And we'll give you the opportunity to partake of communion with us as well. So we hope that you'll join us. We hope that we'll see you there. And Remnant, God bless. We'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 rolling. Take high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever. Knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, round them out, ride them out, ride them more, snake high.
Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them out.
Moving, 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 though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, barking will be waiting at the end of our ride.